Welcome to the Inspired Business Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Inspire Wealth, bringing you interviews with top business professionals, empowering you to understand our current business climate and the successes and struggles other business professionals have overcome. Here's your host, Nick Boer.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Inspired Business Leaders Podcast. This is your host, Nick Boer with Inspire Wealth. We are actually going to do a video today as well as an audio recording. We have with us Corey Dunham, who is the owner and the managing partner, per se, of the B2B business. And it's really an expert in marketing. I'm really excited, as a lot of our listeners know. I've really spent a lot of time, even for my business personally, over the last 3, 4, 5 years, really honing in on marketing, what works, what doesn't. And unfortunately, there's a lot of companies out there saying they can do marketing, but really aren't experts in it. They're just kind of, it's like a side hustle or, you know, kind of a side business. So Corey, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Nick.
So let's start talking. What is, tell me a little bit about your background. Tell me a little bit about the company. Tell me how it got started, and let's kind of dive right into it.
Sure. Yeah, our company, we actually started off as Bauer, Dunham & Barr, but we rebranded to BDB Marketing in the last several years because many companies just started calling us, hey, where's BDB or how's BDB doing? So we just switched it to BDB Marketing. My stepfather, Bob Bauer, he actually started our company back in 1980, so 40-plus years ago. And I started working on, early when I was in high school, went to college, stayed on working with them. And then throughout that time, the internet became a thing, or was created, that we could all use it. And so it's kind of cool, and started to become more interesting at that point. And that's where, you know, from the traditional marketing standpoint, we've used a lot of those traditional ideas in marketing and concepts. And then when digital marketing started to become a thing, and then eventually Google became a thing, it was pretty cool, and a lot of creativity and interesting things that would happen. So,
you know, it's interesting. So you guys, the company was founded.
Mm-hmm.
Before, like, the internet was a thing, before we had, like, cell phones, before any of that stuff, and you guys are now really, I mean, you consider yourself a full-service marketing firm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So help me, you know, again, let's start off with, help me understand, you know, what is a full-service marketing firm? What does it mean? Like, what do you find your guys's, your team doing more than anything, and how has that evolved, let's say, over the last 10 years?
Yeah, for us, because of all the, I would say, digital marketing agencies popping up, like you alluded to earlier, a lot of them haven't had as much experience, but it's easy to start an online business of any sort.
Of course.
But especially the marketing ones that pop up, and they, I've heard a lot of people say a lot of these companies are just money grabs. They're just trying to get somebody to do business with them. They quote a lot of high rates and percentages that they can get you the return on, but then they don't either follow through or they don't get the results.
Okay.
Because of how they work, they don't have much depth, and they're just looking to get that initial money that they know they're not going to give a refund on. So that's a huge thing. But in the last decade, I would say, and because of the pandemic, a lot of businesses have gone remote.
Okay.
So people are thinking differently. That's also saturated the market for many industries that, oh, we're going to be online, or we were online, and now all of a sudden their results are changing based upon what they were currently doing in their marketing. So now I think it takes a lot more creativity, thoughtfulness, intentionality as to, you know, what you're trying to accomplish with your marketing.
You know, I think that makes a lot of sense, because I know, using my industry and financial services as an example, if you would have asked anyone, whether you're independent, capped, it doesn't matter, anyone 5 years ago or more, what does digital marketing mean? Like, how do you incorporate in that type of business? Social media marketing didn't exist for financial advisors. I mean, maybe a little bit in Facebook, maybe. But that's really, like, I know my business, I've really started focusing more on the digital side because YouTube, as we all know, is the second biggest search engine behind Google.
Yep.
And I think there is going to continue to be growth and involvement on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of businesses, as you alluded to, are starting to realize not only are you going more remote or virtual, but how do we expand our business?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's not that we're going all virtual, but how do we expand it? How do we grow?
Yep.
So let's start with talking about why is consistent marketing so important for businesses? Because you know we all can talk about, oh well, let's do $1,000 Facebook ad campaign this month,
mm-hmm.
or let's implement a process on LinkedIn to try to drive traffic to a landing page. And I'm just throwing out examples, but unless you're doing that consistently, or unless you have a specific objective that you're really trying to accomplish with that,
right.
Consistency is really important. And I know you and I personally have talked about that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. There's consistency is huge. And anything you do, whether it's your health, your wealth, in your example, a lot of different things. You can't just be in and out or just haphazardly do things because you're going to end up wasting a lot of time and you're going to waste a lot of resources or money in that case. And with marketing is everything from the beginning of your business all the way through the process and to follow up and then maybe after care or after conversations, post conversations. Of what's going on, because then that if there's a problem near the end of the process, if there's a problem, you want to be able to correct that, and if that person's going to come back to you for those services or products, you want to be there, top of mind for them, and also too, you want to show that you care. So one of the pieces that popped in my head too is humanizing things, treating people like human beings, develop that relationship, but also too. Make sure you're there for them, and that's also a differentiator. A lot of people want to just go digital, but that I think that's just a piece of the puzzle. And sure, some businesses can do very well just in the digital market, but if you add in that humanizing factor and the relationships and developing that, those people are going to, you're going to be like buddies. You may be across the country, across the world, but they're going to think of you first, most likely, rather than just that random guy or the random 20 guys that comes to you for that particular product or service.
It's interesting that that you say that, because I feel obviously that way about my business.
Mm-hmm.
It's relationship based, and I think that for most service businesses,
mm-hmm.
I think companies have gotten away from that.
Yep.
I really think that if we look at, hey, what matters to us? Yeah, profit, revenue, all those things are great.
Mm-hmm.
But I really believe relationships can absolutely, over the long run, really benefit businesses on the marketing front. Because as you said, you're going to stand out. That's going to be one of your differentiators, is you're going to say, wait a second. This guy really was there for me and he really cares. He's not just, as we both said, it's not just a money grab.
No.
It's a, I really care. We're trying to grow together. We're trying to do the right things.
Yes.
And we're trying to make sure on how it all ties together.
Yes.
Because as I think we can all relate, one marketing strategy
mm-hmm.
is not going to be the be all end all for everyone. Right. I mean, we have to be thinking and evolving all the time, especially with technology and marketing. I mean, it's making sure that you're looking at things, how they need to change, how they need to evolve, what works today may not work in 6 months,
yeah.
or may work differently. Maybe you have to tweak things. So, what should companies consider when they're looking at their marketing strategy and how they need to put, I'll use the term, a multi-pronged approach
mm-hmm.
into it. What does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, I'd say a lot of different companies, it's about the focus. What are your end goals? What are you trying to accomplish? and then basically reverse engineering that. So it's not just, you know, do what we've been doing, or let's try the newest thing that we just saw out there, or someone in our industry is doing the, you know, these things, so let's just do the exact same things. That's going to work for a lot of people, but it, not me. It may not work for everybody. So figure out those goals, and then once you do that, really figure out in your staff or in your the culture of your company, you know, are you a one-man show? Are you 2 to 5 people? Along with who's going to be running that marketing and staying on top of it. So it's not just getting the things out, but, you know, what's the reporting? What are the analytics? What's okay. actually happening, so you can actually look at it either on a weekly or monthly basis or quarterly basis and find out, have things changed, like you alluded to earlier, that in 6 months these things may not work. And right. we've seen that in many different environmental factors or political situations where things change drastically yeah. based upon what's going on in the outside world. So you don't want to just be sitting there and, you know, set it and forget it and assume, hey, everything should still keep working, even though it's not.
Right, yeah, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah,
right?
yeah. And you also mentioned earlier, too, just the different media like Facebook with the algorithms and how they calculate how much return or impressions you're going to get. Overnight, years ago, you know, people could develop an organic audience naturally, and they developed that over time. But then I remember talking to one guy at a conference that I think he developed over 100,000 people in the audience naturally without paying a cent to Facebook.
Wow.
Overnight, they changed that, and all of a sudden it went down to, instead of 100,000 audience, now he's down to 10,000 people.
Wow.
But if he wants to get back to those 100,000, he can pay to play. So basically put an ad out. So all the companies, and I think LinkedIn lagged behind that, and then they started, you know, hacking down on that too, and all of a sudden you can't connect with as many people. You can if you want to pay. And so basically they've developed, these social media platforms have developed a great way to do business. Give a lot of free business or develop the audience, and now at this point, they're charging for people to have access to that audience.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, I think that makes sense. I mean, I agree on my front and on a lot of other business owners that I work with that, mm-hmm. you know, hey, it seems like LinkedIn, now you got to do LinkedIn ads, or you got to do Sales Navigator, or you got to do this, mm-hmm. you got to do that. And it's because, and I do agree with that, that it lagged. Mm-hmm. I think Facebook was kind of forefront. Then, you know, and then you have Instagram now, which is becoming more and more popular depending on your demographic and depending on what you're trying, again, as you said, what your goals are, what are you trying to do. Yeah. So help me from your experience and your company's perspective, from a size of company, do you guys have, focus isn't the right word, but do you guys have, you know, to where, you know, you're finding that the clients you're working with the most are 2 to 10 employees or 2 to 5 or 5 to 15 or whatever that looks like. And then also, second question onto that is, do you have specific areas of businesses or professions that A, you feel you've had a lot of success with, or B, that you find yourself working with more than maybe others?
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting thing because most of our business, my stepfather started it back 40 plus years ago, 100% of our business was word of mouth.
Okay.
So it was in the southeastern Michigan area, and with that, one person, you know, we had connections, or he did, with some people who worked at University of Michigan, for
okay.
instance. And a lot of those people in the athletic department, which where we used to design a lot of the Michigan football and basketball tickets and programs and
okay.
back in the day, there's like 5 people when I tracked that from that organization, the athletic department, they moved on to the Detroit Lions. So we were doing media guide back when Barry Sanders was one of the running backs.
Wow.
back in the day.
Okay.
And so that was interesting. Another person from there moved on to the Detroit Zoo, and all of a sudden we had a connection there. But once again, that was a relationship. It wasn't about we're experts at the, you know, zoo marketing, but it was just a relationship, and we have the right marketing principles. Another one has moved to be the president of a local chamber. I think in the Northville area, and so forth. It's just gone on, and then other environmental companies we ended up working with. So one environmental company, they are global, and they do over, I think, $20 million in business.
Okay.
But once again, it's a relationship, and we work with a number of people in that organization, including their marketing department. And then they were acquired by another larger organization that's an environmental, and now all of a sudden you have, it's still global, they have tons more locations and everything, but we're working with their marketing department or that particular person to have those relationships going. So that's been the interesting thing, and it's been hard to figure out what industries do we work with, and I think it's just, you know, it's been the environmental, it's been financial, real estate, coaching or coaches, healthcare, okay. Medical field, all different types. But it's just been those relationships that have developed our business. So maybe we're different than somebody who started in the last 10 years, because if they are maybe more global or more national in base. So for us, that's another thing in the last 10 years now, because of the saturation of the market of, you know, marketing companies and how things are more global. Our existing clients that we had even have been inundated with all kinds of messaging.
Kind of imagine,
Yes, tons of emails, voice messages, you know, all kinds of things, social media platforms, everything. Everybody's getting a ding on their phone and their devices. And how many devices do you have? And multiplied by the number of dings.
Exactly, right?
Yeah. So that's been an interesting one. So we started to reach out ourselves. You know, how can we be better as a marketing company, able to reach out? Because a lot of people would say, man, Corey, you know, where are you from? Oh, I'm from BDB Marketing. Well, who's that? Where are you guys located? And how long have you been around? Just for a couple of years? I'm like, no, we've been around for 30 years.
And that's when they're like, 30 years? Wow.
Right. But we were the greatest secret in southeastern Michigan because nobody really knew about us. It was just those initial connections.
Yeah, and that makes a ton of sense because, I mean, you guys were around and not only around but successful. Pre-internet, pre-phones, all that stuff. Okay. So to do that, it's got to be word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to be a ton of print advertising and those types of things. So, you know, I feel like if you've been around that long, and obviously you guys have evolved, you guys are probably a ton of experience and a lot of knowledge in helping companies evolve. Yep. Around those areas as well, because I got to imagine there's still a lot of companies out there that are still old school, that are still like, I want to do a mailer or I want to do a newsletter and I'm actually mailing it to people. Yep. And you guys, you know, part of what your experience has been is that you guys can help them implement not only the print side or not only that piece, but how do we tie that into social media, or how do we tie that into digital with the website? Or so that's got to be a big piece for what you guys are doing too.
Yeah, and that's seeing some of these trends over the years has been interesting too. Because back, you know, late 80s, early 90s, it was for some of our companies doing magazine ads and big trade magazines.
Okay.
Costs. I think I remember roughly $6,000 to do a full page ad. And that's once a month. That's per month.
Wow.
But it's a trade magazine, and that was the top thing going then. And then all of a sudden, that stopped working for this particular company. But we started looking at postcards. All of a sudden, that was a big thing.
Okay.
So, and I think, you know, you fast forward to now, and now we have a ton of different channels or ways to market to people. So you really have to look at an approach of where is my audience. Where are they hanging out with? Because we can't just spray our advertising like we want to do, which dilutes.
Right, it does. It dilutes the value. It dilutes also what you're going to get as leverage in your marketing budget.
Yes.
Because if you're just literally spraying it everywhere and, you know, a quarter or a third of your marketing is really not hitting your target audience, what is that doing for you?
Yes. And I think I read an article or heard this, but somebody once was quoted as saying, you know, my marketing works. I just don't know which 50% of it does work. You know,
that's a good analogy.
Yeah.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
So let's kind of follow up or continue on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know every company in every industry might be a little different, but in your mind and your team's mind, what should companies be planning for or thinking about as far as time and budget for marketing?
Time and budget, that's always interesting depending on the company. And once again, they have to figure out their goals, their strategy, and then what kind of staffing, you know, what's going on there, or are they hiring some of this out, you know, outsourcing. And with that, it could be anywhere from they're spending zero time or zero money to thousands of dollars a month to, you know, dozens of hours
right.
a month in staffing. So they really have to figure that out. But what tends to happen when either things are going poorly or things are going well, marketing tends to be the thing that's cut out first.
Okay.
Because like, hey, we don't need the business. We're doing so well. Or we're struggling. So, gee, we need to cut out this marketing because we can't determine if it's actually working for us or not.
Right.
So... So really, it can really range anywhere, I would say roughly 5% to 25% of people's either revenue or profits
okay.
that people can spend, just depending on how aggressive they are with their goals, along with, you know, do they have seed money, are they being funded or by venture capitalists or whatever. So they really have to determine that. And what's a reasonable time frame that they are going to get that return?
Yeah, I think that makes sense because I think a lot of companies – that I talked to just from the financial front, and I got to imagine you've talked to way more than I have, that maybe have unrealistic expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, I'm going to invest $500 or $1,000 a month, and I'm going to do this, and this should bring in X number of clients. And then they realize after 2 or 3 months, well, that's not really working like that. So, and then you've got to be able to have the knowledge and experience to be able to pivot.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to say, okay, well, you know what? This isn't working. We need to adjust.
Yeah.
Or we need to adjust the budget up or down, or we need to add something else.
Yes, and that's a key fact you mentioned, the experience or the expertise to adjust. But sometimes it's the, you know, if you're a business owner, if you're an entrepreneur, a lot of entrepreneurs do things that they feel that nobody else can do as well. So many times they're hesitant to let go of the reins of certain things or change things or make decisions
right.
moving in a different direction. So that's very difficult for certain entrepreneurs, which can be helpful if you do have an outside company or you outsource that can say, hey, this is what we've seen. We recommend doing this. And that way it gives them a little more confidence that these strategies can work. But it is very difficult, like I said, if somebody's holding on to something and they won't let go of the reins, you can coach them or advise them all day long, but they've got to be willing to be open to some of the changes.
Well, and I think that's true. You know, I think that's a good point you just made. I think that if you have someone internally, whether it's the owner, whether it's HR, it doesn't matter, whoever it is, if they've been doing mm-hmm. that some of that marketing for a year, 2 years, 3 years, sometimes that's hard for those people to give up the reins. But in your world, if they don't give up the reins, it's almost like it's handcuffing you. It's almost like, yeah, what are we doing here?
Yeah, and it's handcuffing both of us. All of a sudden, it's not a win-win situation anymore. We look like we're the enemy. Or even if they do it internally, if they've been doing it for such a long time, like you mentioned, they may not feel comfortable, like, man, I've been doing this marketing for a long time and I'm not getting the results I want. What makes me think that this other person, this marketing company, can actually help me out? So you start to
correct
self-sabotage.
And then you're almost like, like you said, you're looked at as the enemy. Like you're almost looked at the guy as, well, you just want more of a retainer, or
right.
you want more ad spend.
Right.
And it's like, wait a second here.
Yeah.
Like we're just like, you know, we're not trying to tell you how to do your business. Like we're trying to partner with you. We're
mm-hmm.
trying to make sure that, you know, based on the goals you've laid out, we're trying to see how can we help you the most efficiently.
Yes.
And I think that's the most important thing is, personally, I can't stress this enough. And, you know, from my perspective, we've already talked about how many businesses are out there
mm-hmm.
and it's looked at as a money grab and we're just trying to get dollars to, you know, hey, we're going to pay this month's bills, but, you know, we're going to invest only this little much, you know. those are things that I think a lot of business owners are probably a little scared on because there's, mm-hmm. you know, as they have been taken advantage of at some point. Like, look, in my business, some things work, some things don't. I've tried things that don't work. I've tried things that work better than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
I think people need to have realistic expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can tell you personally, I believe social media is an important piece of my business,
yeah.
but I don't think I get business or will get business from social media. So it's interesting. Now, if I'm running specific ads,
yes.
versus just doing posts, that's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I look at social media as branding. It's going to grow the brand. It's going to reinforce the brand. It's going to more exposure. And I think it really comes back to, like you said it several times, what are you trying to accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
What are your goals from this campaign?
Right.
Are we tying three or four things together with the goal of X, Y, and Z, or you know, like, what does that look like?
Yeah.
So, here's one of the last points, because I think this is an important one that I kind of started talking about that we've discussed a little bit, but I really want your input and expertise on this. Why do you think so many companies are really struggling with their marketing, and how do they need to think differently?
Yeah.
And how do you feel that the overall marketing industry ties into that?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you guys feel that you're different being tied into that?
Okay. I'll try to remember all that, but
okay. I will absolutely cue you in.
Yeah. I think a lot of companies struggle for, once again, we talked about it earlier, they many times are doing something that was working, but then all of a sudden it's not working as well.
Yeah.
They either tend to do more of that, though maybe should we do it more, should we do it longer? And sometimes that's not the thing you need to do. So having another set of eyes on what you're doing or perspective can help a ton. Another piece of that is, you know, they maybe have a consistent amount of money that they're putting toward their marketing. Well, maybe they need to rethink that. And once again, the breadth of their marketing. Are they spread out too wide? They're just spraying? Or really, should they narrow down on some campaigns, for instance, specific campaigns for this targeted audience, for this targeted product or service? And then just focus on that and go deeper and in that area, because then you become more of an expert. The more you focus,
that makes a lot of sense, yeah.
your call to actions, your messaging, how you're communicating, you're piquing the ears of this specific segmented area in the market.
Yeah.
And some people want to try to message and communicate to everybody in the market, which then doesn't really resonate with anyone.
No, and like you said, then you're spreading yourself too thin. You're really doing a broad-based approach where you're just trying to attract a whole bunch of different people, and you're not looked at as the expert in one or two areas.
Right. And I agree with you on the, you'd mentioned the point of branding.
Yeah.
You know, you may not get much business, you don't feel from the social media presence, but it's branding. So you do want to support what you're doing in the different areas, but there's also targeted campaigns that
Correct.
You can focus on.
Correct. Yeah, and I think that's an important point is again going back to setting expectations and what do you really expect? Are you expecting to do social media campaigns and have that bring in 10 clients a month? Well, that may not be realistic.
Right.
So
and when you get statistics from somebody, I have a hard time personally telling somebody, hey, you're going to get 10% growth, you're going to get 10x growth. I have a hard time with that because every company is different.
I agree.
Every engagement is different. But that's a cool piece if somebody does, you're working with somebody that does give you statistics that, hey, we average 25% return on this. Well, when you look at that after a month's time and figure out what that timing and expectations are, is it after a month? Is it after 6 months? But you can measure up against that and then, okay, we need to make some changes here.
So that's a really good point because, you know, I think some companies that do say things like that, like, hey, I'm going to get you 10% growth or 20% growth.
Mm-hmm.
When is the time frame? Is that in 1 month, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months?
Yeah.
I mean, I think we all can agree certain marketing campaigns could take longer, mm-hmm. shorter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of factors there. I keep using my business as an example just because it's so easy to do. But like I use my financial services as an example. So like some of my messaging right now with the current market conditions
mm-hmm.
are really two or three things of focus.
Mm-hmm.
Inflation concerns, volatility in the market, and taxes. I think those are like the three biggest things that everyone's really worried about, depending on where they're at in their life and their business and their profession. And I got to imagine, Corey, that there's a lot of business owners out there based on what they do
mm-hmm.
that could have similar experiences or similar things where, hey, this is the topic or topics you should be talking the most about right now. Yeah. And in 3 months, that could be totally different.
Yes. Yes.
So, okay. Well, I think that's really important for the listeners to really understand is that you really need that customized, specific approach based on what your goals are, where as you said, where do you think your audience is, where they hang out, where do they listen, or where are they visiting, and what do we think is going to speak to them, what's going to resonate with them, and based on what you're doing, if you've got a, I'm using an example, if you've got a remodeling company that you're running social media and marketing and the website and other things for, you know what, maybe going into this time of the year, they're thinking of holiday gatherings and happy. Okay, so you know what? Maybe they want to redo their kitchen, or maybe they want to redo the downstairs bath because that's the one everyone's going to use at the holidays. So it's just it's different times a year. I got to imagine really impacts when you should be looking at things like that.
Yes, and that would be a good guide, along with if you've got that relationship you've developed, you'll have a little more intimacy as to what's important in that person's life. Like you said, if they've got an event coming up that, I need to get this project done at this time of year because of these things. Yeah. Well, that helps you to get a little bit closer to a win-win.
Sense. Yeah, I think that makes sense. Well, and again, and maybe you have a family reunion coming up, but maybe that's in March.
Right.
Well, again, remodeling company, maybe you want to attract people that are doing that after the holidays so that they want to think of things like, oh, well, I need this done and this done and this done in my family room, or I need this and this done as we get into the warmer months based on where we're going to have people. So those are a lot of things that I think that sometimes business owners may not be thinking. And I always take the stance of we got to take a step back for a minute and let's think how our customer may think, or let's think how our client may think. What is their perspective or their perception? Because I think the more business owners can do that, the more successful they're going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Because then they can look at their marketing and say, wait a second, if I'm attracting these three demographics, what do I need to do from a marketing standpoint to market to them?
Right.
So, well, this has been great, Corey. Is there anything else in your mind that you want to make sure that we touch on before we start wrapping up for today?
Yeah, one thing that just came to mind was just with your business goals, you also need to set some personal goals. I believe that because you want to have a business and a place that you love to come to work to. So part of that is what type of clients do you want to attract? Are they just the profitable ones, but maybe high maintenance, or do they also have some pleasantries in there with that type of client? So you really have to figure that out too, because it's not just, is our business successful? Because if it's giving you an ulcer, that's not great. So
it's a good point.
So tie in some of these values that you want personally and how that impacts you personally, whether it's your family life. Because I know for me, working too much takes away from my family time.
Yep.
So I've got to have a balance that's healthy. Obviously, that can pay the bills, but also, too, that still bolsters up my family culture and what's going on there.
So. It's interesting. I feel the same way in my business. I've had, any client that comes on board, they're always knowing right up front, listen, I'm up north on Fridays during the summer. Yep. You can text me, you can call me, you can email me. I will still talk to you, but just know I'm not in the office. Yep. Don't just drop by because I'm not going to be there. And that was kind of the attraction for some of my team members personally. Like my operations manager, when I hired her and brought her on, that was one of the first things I said. I said, look, here's an advantage. You don't have to work most Fridays during the summer. And she's like, what? I'm like, yeah, it's because this is the
culture.
The culture that I want to create in my office is family's important, and I want you to be able to enjoy, because we don't have all year to be able to enjoy the outdoors and be able to enjoy, if you are, you know, if you have a lake house or if you have a, you know, place, you know, in the woods on acres or anything like that, we don't have all year. We're in Michigan. We have like 3 months and then, you know, we have fall and spring, which you got to work around rain, but we have beautiful scenery.
Yes.
So depending on, you know, you as a business person and personally, as you said, you know, what's important? Work-life balance, you know, family time, all those things. And some people may not even have realized some of those things yet. Like I realized personally when my kids were, you know, out of toddler phase, you know, going into like kind of adolescent preteen, when I was like, wow, I'm missing this stuff.
I had the same experience.
So I think that's so important from a business perspective, because for marketing, you can dictate marketing how you can set your business up for what you really want.
Yes.
Not only how busy you want to be, but what type of client you're trying to bring on, what type, you know, like you said, high maintenance, low maintenance, understanding, hey, what are we doing here? Where are you? What are you doing? How can I help you? How can you help me? How can it be that win-win? So, well, I appreciate you coming on today, Corey. I appreciate you know, this being in person, we don't get a lot of chance to do stuff like this. So, you know, Corey is local in his business. So business out of Ann Arbor, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So let me kind of close with, you know, what's the best way if someone wants to get a hold of you, have an initial consultation, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, a couple of different ways. They can either call us at 734-995-5290 or they can go to our website. Which is BDB, Boy Dog Boy, BDBMarketingDesign.com.
Okay, so BDBMarketingDesign.com.
Yes.
Okay, all right. So that's, you know, that's great. You know, I again, can't thank you enough for coming on. I really enjoyed this. A lot of my listeners know that I have a passion for marketing because I deal with it every day myself. So it's like, look, what's working, what's not. So, hey, I want to thank everyone, you know, for listening and hopefully viewing another episode of the Inspired Business Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Inspire Wealth. I'm your host, Nick Bohr. And again, we've had Corey Dunham on today. So thanks, everyone. Appreciate it and look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Inspired Business Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Inspire Wealth. To learn more about the topics mentioned on today's show or to listen to past episodes, visit www.inspiredbusinessleaderspodcast.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.